Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awaken Radio. I am your host, Connie Chapman, and each week I speak with experts from all over the world on topics such as happiness, abundance, self-love, and following your heart. Awaken Radio is your online destination for wisdom and inspiration that will support you to live a life beyond your wildest dreams. Hello everyone, this is Connie and welcome to episode 7 of Awaken Radio. I have such a beautiful conversation for you today and I have a beautiful guest, Melissa Ambrosini. She is a dear friend of mine and we're going to be having a gorgeous conversation with you all today. So I can't wait to dive into that once Melissa joins us. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Mel, she is an empowering self-love speaker, mentor, writer, and creator of Path to Wellness. Melissa inspires a life of health, love, and style through her hugely successful blog, books, retreats, and events. You can connect with Mel and read more of her work at pathtowellness.com.au. Today, the conversation that we are going to be having is about vulnerability. And the inspiration for me to share this with you came from quite simply just a casual conversation I was having with Mel about a week ago. And we were catching up and we were just chatting about things and our conversation drifted to talking about vulnerability. And I found we both got really inspired and excited when we were having this conversation. And it's something we both feel really passionate about, partially because we've lived it in our own lives. We share it in the work that we do. And I feel like I'm still really opening up and learning more about how to be more vulnerable and step into that space of vulnerability in my life with my work and with others. So I found that we had this really gorgeous conversation, and it was after that conversation that I really felt I wanted to bring this conversation to all of you so that you can also get to hear a bit about what we feel about this topic, how you can start to open up to more of your vulnerability and embrace that, and why that is such a powerful practice for you, why it's not as scary as you might think or as some people feel that it's somehow weak or there is some weakness associated with it. I really wanted to help you see the strength and the power and what really opens up for you when you're willing to open up to that softer, vulnerable space within you. So while we wait for Mel to join us, I'll just keep an eye on whether or not she's having any trouble getting on the line, but she should be fine. I just want to share a little bit about my journey into opening up to vulnerability, because the experience of this for me has been an experience, as I said, of opening up to all aspects of myself, of being willing to see all aspects of myself and then share all aspects of myself with others. Not just the parts of me that I had labeled as loving, as lovable or as beautiful or as perfect. And not just the parts of myself that I thought other people wanted to see. That I thought if I came off in this way and had people seeing me in this way, then I would receive love. But more so, allowing people to see all those aspects of me. And it's about being really honest with yourself and being willing to be real in yourself with who you are and no longer denying parts of yourself that you have labeled as negative or bad or imperfect in some way. And this doesn't mean that you're not going to have some element of fear around that. Sometimes putting ourselves into a space of vulnerability does bring up some fear. And a big fear that was there for me was the fear of losing love. of not being loved when I would show someone an aspect of myself or put something out there into the world and not know how it was going to be received, or speak my truth and not knowing whether, you know, I guess to my mind it was the right thing to say. Now I can see that Mel has just joined us, so I'm going to bring her on the line and we can continue the conversation with her as well. Hi Mel, how are you?
I'm good, beautiful. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for joining me today. I so appreciate you being here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. And while I was waiting for you to join us, I was sharing a little bit with people about, you know, we're going to be talking about vulnerability. And I was sharing a little bit about what it means to me, what it has felt like to me in my life. And I kind of had described it as a sense of opening up and being real and being willing to show the world or people or even through my work all aspects of myself, not just the parts of myself that I perhaps thought were beautiful or perfect or lovable, but all aspects. And, you know, to start the conversation, I'd love to hear a bit about what your journey has been with this practice of vulnerability and how it's unfolded in your life, and for you, what it has looked like or felt like to step more into that space.
Yeah, definitely over the past couple of years, as I have really dived deep into this inward journey, I have really understood the power of vulnerability a lot more. But I kind of grew up in a family, in a household where showing, being vulnerable was a sign of weakness. So I had that drummed into me from a very young age. You know, every time we would get upset or something like that, I had that, my dad kind of, all right, pull your socks up and off go, like very, you know, get on with it, which is kind of good, but still, you know, you've got to feel the emotion that's there. And vulnerability from a young age for me was, yeah, it's a sign of weakness. So I had to unlearn that as I got older. And in my early 20s, I really closed off that part of me, and I kept very much, I played it really safe because I had that in the back of my head that I was weak if I was to be vulnerable in front of other people. And that didn't really work out too well for me. But I realize now the power of vulnerability is just for your growth. It's just imperative for you to be able to really deeply know yourself and find yourself. And the more I share about my journey, or the more vulnerable I am, the deeper my work goes, and the more I'm able to connect with other people. And I know you and I personally have had lots of conversations when we catch up about this, and the more that we really share on our blogs and share in social media and with our clients about our stories, and we really open up, we allow others to do the same. And it's a beautiful, it's like a soft, gentle reminder that, oh, okay, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to express how I'm feeling right now. And I feel like it's my job to be a trailblazer, you know, toward vulnerability now. And don't get me wrong, there's still moments where it's like, oh God, don't share that. Or Brené Brown talks about, who's studied vulnerability for, you know, over a decade. She talks about how every time she shares in one of her talks or something like that, she gets in the taxi, leaving venue, and she's like, I have this vulnerability hangover where you're like, oh my God, did I just really share all of that? And that kind of lasts for, you know, a couple of seconds. But, you know, for me, that's when I've just gone to my head a little bit, and you go into, oh my God, what are they going to think of me? But if you come back down into your heart and you really soften, you'll let go of that ego stuff.
I love what you said about it being like a deepening, because I really feel our ability to be vulnerable, even in ourselves, which as you spoke about being able to feel emotions as well, it's like the process of being able to be vulnerable with yourself, to feel the discomfort sometimes, to feel the fear that arises sometimes, or the sadness or the emotion. And as you can be willing to be vulnerable in that space and feel it, as you said, you can drop deeper into yourself as well. Mm-hmm. And so have you found, I mean, I guess that's kind of just what you shared, but was that a real journey for you to be able to actually feel into your emotions too? Because I know so many women struggle with the ability to let themselves sit with and really feel what's going on for them.
Yeah, I actually had someone email me today, and she said, I just read one of your blog posts about sitting with the emotion and feeling the emotion and not trying to fix, change or improve it. And she goes, and for the first time in my life, I tried Melissa, and I said, how did it go, darling? And she's like, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. And it was fine. And I just went, I gave her a little wink. I sent her a wink back and I said, give this a go from now on. But our ability to soften in times when feelings or emotions arise within us is a practice. Because we usually go straight to our head and we harden and we're like, I don't want to feel it. I don't want to feel it. I don't want to feel it. I go great lengths to not be vulnerable and to not feel this in this moment. For me, over the past, you know, year or so, or more so only the last few months, I have really, every time those icky feelings come up within me, I've literally opened my arms and it's almost like I say, bring it on. Bring it on, because if I can fully feel you now, you will then move on. It's like a wave. It comes and it goes. But what most people do is they try and stop the wave, and you can't stop wave. You know, it's going to wash over you whether you like it or not, but it'll hit you harder. But you can ride the wave, and then it just goes back out to the ocean again, and it doesn't even last that long. But we create these stories and these scenarios in our head, and we catastrophize things that haven't even happened instead of just softening and going with the wave and just going, okay, cool, you know, this feels a little bit icky or whatever, but I'm just going to ride it.
And I really feel it's that ability to feel and ride the emotion that not only allows us to go deeper in ourselves and feel, you know, open up to ourselves, but it allows us to open up to others as well. Because a big part of my vulnerability has not just been my practice within myself, but it's been my ability to then speak that to someone else, particularly in my relationship with my boyfriend, to speak those feelings, to speak my truth. And a lot of, you know, for some people, a lot of fear, and it has for me, fear comes up around really saying, here is what I feel. Here is what is inside of me, and I'm going to bring it out and show it to you. And I don't know how you're going to receive it or whether you're going to love it or whether you're going to agree. But that part of being vulnerable is that willingness to, it's like, I just have to share this because this is my truth. Have you experienced that as well, of times where you've had to open up and speak something to someone in order to be able to, you know, deepen your connection with that person, but at the same time that fear has come up around it?
Absolutely. With my family, with my friends, with partners, absolutely. It's almost like you're standing on the edge of a bungee jump and you're like, I've just got to do this, but it scares the crap out of me. And like, you know, we spoke about the other day when we caught up, it's like every time you're being vulnerable and you're speaking from your heart, I feel like personally I'm standing in front of that person butt naked. And it's like, am putting myself totally out on the line here, and I'm standing really open, raw, vulnerable, and nude right now. And I don't know how you're going to receive that. But that becomes, the more certain you become within yourself, the more grounded you become within yourself, that becomes irrelevant. How they receive it becomes irrelevant. It's just your ego that wants to know how it's going to be received. So are they going to like me for this? Are they going to accept me, or are they going to judge me? And that's just our ego. But when you're in your heart, your truth doesn't give a crap how it's received. All it cares about is that you are expressing from your heart. So whenever I notice myself wanting to express, and I'm very good at expressing my truth to people, I'm a very open and honest person. In saying that, that doesn't mean my ego doesn't come and go, oh, but how are they going to receive it? Are they still going to like me? Are they going to still want to be my friend or whatever? And that does come up for me. But when that comes up, I have an opportunity then there to catch it and come back into my heart and just reconnect with my truth and express from that place and let go of the thinking, let go of the worrying how it's going to be accepted and how they're going to receive it. As long as you're speaking your truth, it's irrelevant, the rest of it.
And that's really the journey, isn't it? And I know you work a lot in your work on self-love with people, and that really is the journey to be able to be so, the most important thing is you and yourself being connected to your heart, speaking your truth, and as you said, how it's received is irrelevant, because the only reason we fear how it's going to be received is because we feel we need love in return for putting out what we've shared. And it's our ego that fears that we won't receive that love, that on some level we're not lovable if we're, as you said, you know, standing naked in front of someone being like, love me, you know, where there's this massive fear, well, will I receive love for doing that? And so ultimately, I feel my strength in being able to be vulnerable and speak my truth so powerfully has come from not like building that love within myself, so that I don't need the love in return in order to feel complete, or, you know, so that I already feel safe. You know what I mean? And the way that it's received, therefore, doesn't have any impact on your sense of self or your sense of love for yourself.
That is the hardest part, though. That real unconditional love for yourself. You really do have to be your own best friend. And this is where the work really comes in. This is where you really have to sit with yourself, really have to, in times of discomfort and vulnerability, you know, place your hands on your heart and repeat, I love and accept myself, I love and accept myself, I love and accept myself. And when you build yourself up on a really solid base of self-love, it doesn't matter what happens externally, nothing can rock that.
That's so true. And I mean, I know we weren't necessarily going to dive into self-love, but I just feel like we've kind of opened up to that, and I just would love to explore that a bit more, because I really do feel it's the lack of self-love that stops people being, allowing themselves to be vulnerable and be who they truly feel they want to be with people. And that practice of self-love, I mean, I have a lot of people say to me, how do I learn to love myself? And I just would, just from the work that you do, where do you recommend people start with that if they're feeling that all the love they want to receive is still based outside of them? It's still looking to the external world to validate me. Where do you tend to begin with people to support them when they're in that space?
I think the first place to start is by bringing awareness to the internal mean girl dialogue, as I call it, of the not self-love stuff, so that I'm not good enough. The phrase and the word that your mean girl says to you, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not skinny enough, I'm not wealthy enough, I'm not worthy enough, whatever that is. Once you can see, it's like we've got to shine light on and put on the table all of the mean girl junk. Then once we have it all out on the table and we can see it all, we then have a choice. We then can either choose to pick those up again and engage in those stories or in that dialogue, or we can go and or we try something new. And when we try something new, this is the work. So when that comes up for you, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, that is when you have to be strong within yourself. You have to stop yourself and go, hang on a minute, the old me would have engaged in this. The new me is going to try something new. Thanks, mean girl, but no, I am worthy. Or thanks, mean girl, but no, I am beautiful. And it's about reprogramming those beliefs. And at the start, yeah, you're probably not going to believe it. That's, you know, it's probably been 35 years of conditioning. Yeah, of course you're not going to believe it. But the more and more you do the work, the more that will become embedded in your cells and in your DNA. And that's the work. That is it. You don't need to go out and buy a manual, or you don't need to go out and do all these courses and different things. You just got to continue to catch those thoughts and continue to work on that moment by moment. That is the difficult part that people struggle with, because they want someone else to do it for them, or they want a special or a quick fix. But the reality is you got to do the work. And I know you have done the work for years. I've done the work for years. I've dragged my butt to my meditation cushion for the past 3 years, 3.5 years. And I have done the work, and I know you have, and I know, you know, lots of people do. But it's not, no one can do it for you. No one is going to do it for you. We've really got to put in that ourselves. And, you know, when you can realize when you're not coming from a place of love, you can start to change that and reprogram that. You know, everything that I do in my life comes to a place of self-love, like from the thoughts that I choose to think, the work that I do, how I move my body, the food that I nourish myself with, the water I drink, the products I use. You know, all of that comes from a space of love. I catch myself if I ever come from a place of fear, and I'll be like, hang on a minute, what's going on here? But that becomes more, less and less, more you, this work.
I completely agree with everything that you've shared. And I say to my clients a lot, because I often start this work with them, as you said, becoming really aware of where the fear is running the show and playing out, and where that inner mean girl, as you call it, or that inner critic is really playing out. And I have some clients kind of come to me and they feel really overwhelmed once they start to see it. But I'm like, it is so much better to be conscious and aware of that than have it being unconscious and driving your behaviors and actions, and you don't even know that it's happening. So that beautiful process of bringing it into the conscious mind, shining a light on it, becoming aware of it. And I often say to people, with awareness comes responsibility. And that's exactly what you shared, is that you now have a choice. And if you choose to let the fear keep going, then that's okay. Be okay with that. Don't beat up on yourself about it. But you can choose love in that moment. And that's exactly what you shared, is that that is the daily work. Is it's like, oh, there's that fear voice again, I'm going to choose love. And there's that desire to want to be vulnerable. Oh, no, but the fear voice says, don't do that because he might not like it. But you, as you said, the intention of what you're doing is self-love. So you're coming from a space of wanting to honor yourself, of support yourself, and that is more important than how it's received by anybody else.
Exactly.
That's so powerful. And with connection as well. With connection as well, because I remember hearing Brené say, you can't ever have authentic and true connection with someone, and I believe also with yourself. unless you're willing to be vulnerable. And I know the times that in my relationship with my boyfriend or even in my business with my clients that I've been willing to show myself to people, the connection that I can then experience is so much deeper. Have you experienced that as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and something in my early 20s, when stuff would come up for me, my old pattern was to retreat and to hide away and almost, yeah, just lock myself away until I dealt with it. And, you know, some of my friends used to say to me, Mel, we know you're not okay. And I'm like, yeah, no, yep, I'm fine, you know. And yeah. Even at school, I would just go quiet and not, and really withdraw. Yeah. And now it's like having the courage to speak up and say, I am going through this and I need some support right now. Or even you reaching out to one of your soul sisters or someone whom you trust and just saying, I'm going through this right now. I'm feeling like this and I don't want anything from you. I just need to share that with you. That takes courage. That takes balls. And that is so brave. And Brené says, you know, we are hardwired connection. This is what we're here for. This is what we crave, connection. But you want deep connection? You got to go deep. And that the way you go deep is down the vulnerable slippery dip. That's how you go deep. And you want someone else to open up. You want your partner to open up. You open up. You open up first and then watch how the relationship dynamic shifts. You want anyone to soften. Your sister, your, you know, a work colleague, your partner, your children. You want your partner or your children or anyone to soften, open up. You do it first. You open up first and then watch how the dynamic shifts. Happened with my sister and I, you know, a few weeks ago. We were both very much in our ego and not willing to back down, either of us. And as soon as I softened and melted into my heart and shared how I was feeling about the particular situation, she melted and she opened up. And it was like this beautiful, juicy, soft moment of love. It's like literally love just came pouring in the entire room and flooded it. But before that, it was ego and it was yucky. It was so yucky. But it takes courage and it takes balls to be that person to soften first. And especially in a romantic relationship and a friendship, any relationship. But in a romantic relationship, to be that one that melts first is, it takes courage because, yeah, you're getting nude in one of them first.
Yeah. And I can tell you what, my relationship wouldn't be what it is had I not been willing to be the one who softened or was vulnerable first. And I think any woman, you know, in relationship with a man, generally, although it's stereotypical, generally men are less likely to open up and be that soft and vulnerable energy, mainly because we're feminine. We've got the feminine energy, which the essence of it is that soft, receptive, open, emotional energy. And so it is, I think it is almost a woman's responsibility to some extent to be willing to step into her feminineness and say, you know, I'm struggling in this moment and I need you, or I'm feeling this and I just have to share it with you, or you know what, I love you and I love you and this is how I feel about you and I'm willing to stand in how I feel and share that. And I think a lot of women feel exactly what you've said, is that we look to our man and we're like, why won't they open up to me and tell me how they feel? And I've experienced this in my relationship. I tell this story a bit, you know, why won't he open up? And it's that beautiful reminder for us to look inwards. And as I think I've heard you say, it is like, turn the finger around and point the finger at yourself. And we would say, where do I need to do that thing that I'm expecting them to do before I can let myself really open up with that person?
Totally. You want love? Give love. You want it? You've got to give it first. You can't expect expectations, oh, they will kick you in the teeth. You cannot expect anyone else to give you love unless you give it. You give it first. And the love bank never runs out. It's infinite. It's always there. And I think as women, it is our job to melt into our femininity, melt into our goddessness. And where we grow up, we've grown up in a society where, and we live in a city where it's quite hard and harsh, and you know, women are very driven and career and entrepreneurs and things like that, and we can tend to harden up a little bit, and that's why there's a lot of women now that are experiencing postnatal depression and things like that, because they're so career driven and they're so focused and it's like go, go, go hard, and then they have these baby, these children, and it's this identity crisis. Who am I without my career? And they struggle to soften into motherhood. And I see it with a lot of my clients, see it with a lot of my friends, and you know, just different people. And to really soften into that is quite a hard shift for a lot of women, because we're so used to being so hard and strong and career driven. So I feel like, yeah, for me, when I notice myself hardening up, I take myself to yoga, or I up the ante on my meditation, or go do painting in art class, or I'll cook, or I'll go to a pole dancing class, or I'll go do a dance class. I'll do something that really gets me back into my body, because I do a lot of training, which is quite hard, and you know, I run my own business, and there's and I live in a city, and it's like, okay, well, how can you open up that goddess channel a little bit more to soften and to be the beautiful feminine women that we are?
Yeah. And then from that place, vulnerability is effortless. It's just a natural expression of you being in your feminine. And it's actually so powerful. The feminine energy is so powerful. And I think that's important for us as women to start to remember that, because our society has taught us that the masculine is power, but it's a different type of power. And I think as women are really waking up to their femininity, their softness and their vulnerability, there is the shift you can make in others by standing in that feminine power, especially in men. I mean, the power we have as women with a man when we are in that feminine energy is massive, and I think that's really the energy that's going to heal our planet as well.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Beautiful. Well, we've reached the end of our time together, and I think that's actually a beautiful place to end our conversation. Our chat has seemed to sort of come full circle and just covered so many beautiful aspects of this conversation. So thank you so much, Mel. It's been so beautiful talking to you.
You're so welcome, honey. I could talk about this stuff with you for hours.
And I'm sure we will have plenty more conversations about it another time as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, and you have an absolutely beautiful day.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. And thank you to everybody who's been listening today, and I look forward to connecting with you all again soon. Thank you, Mel. See you later.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye.